Welcome to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. In this episode, we're going to talk about, is a young horse right for you? And this is kind of stemming from a bunch of life experiences on my end, but also just discussing with some different trainers and different coaches, clients of theirs that have gone out and bought a young horse. And sometimes it's worked out to be a fantastic story, and sometimes it has not worked out to be a fantastic story. But what goes into having a young horse? Why would you want a young horse? And what are the qualities that you should be looking for? And what are the qualities that are good to have in yourself before you even consider to jump on that boat and purchase that young horse? So let's get into it with some tips from my lifetime experiences to hopefully help you figure out, is a young horse worth it for you, that whole experience? So let's start off with, why would you want to get a young horse? There are definitely some perks, one of them being price, because if you buy a young horse that's not yet trained, then it's going to be cheaper. Just keep in mind that it's going to cost a lot of time and potentially money of training, whether that be coaching or sending the horse off to the trainers. And there's no guarantee as to how that horse is going to turn out. So those factors need to be considered. But often buying a young horse is going to be a lot cheaper than buying one that's already kind of in their prime and already trained or into their competition season, because none of that's happened yet. So that can be one deciding factor. Another one can be that if you're planning to have a horse for many, many years and you want to kind of grow together and have a long time together, sometimes people are looking at younger horses because you get more time from them. So that would be another option. Another piece would be if you want to know where the horse came from and their breeding and all those types of things, or maybe even be involved in the breeding process. Sometimes it's easier to do that when the horse is younger, because you can even purchase a foal in utero and choose the stallion and be part of the naming process and choose their registered name, all those types of things. Whereas once the horse is 4 or 5 years old, if they're going to be registered, they're usually already registered and have their name chosen and all those types of things. For a lot of the breed registries, if a foal is not registered by the time they're 4 years old, there's a huge penalty. In some cases, I think it's over $1,000 if they're not registered by then. And it's usually cheapest to register a horse in their first year. And after that, it gets more and more expensive with each year if it wasn't already registered. Plus, you have to do usually DNA and other things, so it just gets a little bit more complicated. And sometimes it can just be easier if you do that whole process when the horse is younger, if you want to be a part of that whole deciding factor. For me, I've done that. I have a foal that's at my, well, she's not a foal anymore, she's actually pregnant and in foal, and I bought her as a weanling, and I was able to choose her registration name, and I knew her parents were, and then now I've bred her to a stallion that I really like, and I'm really excited for the foal that I'm going to be getting, and will hopefully be getting from that cross. I'm really, really excited for that, and I got to choose that whole process and pick a stallion that I thought would complement what my mare's attributes are. And I'll get to choose the name for that foal. So it can be a fun and exciting process for sure. Now, there are a lot of potential challenges and things that you got to consider. And we'll kind of get into them a little bit more about you, because you are a huge factor in whether or not this is going to be successful. But the biggest thing about young horses is that is when they're developing their patterns and their behaviors that they're going to have around other humans. And it's a time when they're growing in both physical attributes as well as mental. They're learning about how to be social, they're learning how to behave around people, and it's very possible to create a bit of a monster and a horse that actually ends up being quite dangerous. Especially as horses learn the social dynamics and they start to challenge each other a little bit more, they also start to challenge you a little bit. And some horses can act a little bit more dominant than others, and they can explore nipping and pushing and all those types of behaviors. For me, one horse was actually given to me named Peanut. She was a horse that had been with her owner as a foal. They were they actually rescued her, and over a couple years she ended up becoming so dominant that she would chase or bite or kick people that came into the field, and they had to just toss hay over the fence to her. They weren't able to walk a flake of hay into the field with her unless they had a stick or something in their hand, because she had become quite dangerous and quite pushy, and she had learned that behavior because of the boundaries that were not being set, and that she was able to kind of intimidate them into that position. So she ended up coming to my farm and coming to me. I started her under saddle. She ended up being a little superstar. We were able to use her in lessons and things like that, and she was able to come around, but it took having that knowledgeable trainer and that confident trainer to have those boundaries instilled in there. So we have to be really careful about these young horses. They need that consistency, they need that boundaries, or you can accidentally teach them to be dangerous, because they are big animals and they do have a social hierarchy that involves kicking, biting. The horses don't kick and bite each other often, but they do push around each other, and they do have those behaviors in there that are not super rare. And if we're not careful, the horse can interact with us in a similar way, which is quite dangerous for us because we are not the size of another horse. We have to be really careful. That training experience as well, we can put a lot of dangerous behaviors into our horse just from our own lack of knowledge or lack of confidence, in terms of, let's say you're asking your horse to canter, but you're worried the horse is going to canter too fast because your horse is young, so they're not super balanced yet, or they don't carry themselves well, and you start kind of clenching and tightening with the reins, you can start to create a horse that's anxious to canter because they know that it's going to feel tight and awkward because you make it even more tight and awkward. And then you end up with this horse that starts to be reluctant to canter because you're kind of holding onto the reins and holding them in a hollow position that feels awful and yucky. And then they canter and you pull on their mouth because you didn't want them to go that fast, but your horse wasn't balanced to not go that fast. And then they become a bit of a head shaker and head tosser and a rein puller because they don't like the tight reins that they're feeling, because you don't have the confidence to let the horse go and explore their balance and learn their stability and allow them to move and move with them. And so it can create this cycle of issues that aren't physical issues, because sometimes people can get thinking, oh, like their back's sore and this is sore. And although that can be true, it can be caused by the person who's riding and training them. And in my opinion, it's not really a great recipe for success to have both the horse and the rider learning things at the same time. It's better if one of you is at least knowledgeable. And there's a saying in the horse world, which is green on green makes black and blue. And what that means is that you can have a green horse, meaning in green means inexperienced. So you can have a green horse and a green rider. So inexperienced horse and rider together makes black and blue, meaning you're going to get a whole bunch of bruises. And it's a catchy saying, but it's a pretty true saying, because if you both don't know what you're doing, then it's really hard to figure things out. And it can be a very rewarding process to train your own horse and to bring them up through all the experience levels. But I can't stress enough about the importance of, at the very least, having a knowledgeable trainer and coach that's consistently working with you to help you along the way to get that process as smooth as possible, because it is so much harder to fix mistakes that have been learned than it is to just start from scratch and do things in a successful, progressive way from the beginning. And I see that all the time, especially since I do off the track thoroughbred and Mustang makeovers. I actually think that the Mustangs are pretty easy to start under saddle and do that whole process. They're kind of skittish and flighty because they don't know if they can trust people, but they don't have a lot of bad habits because they haven't been around people. Whereas the thoroughbreds, they already know how to ride, walk, trot, canter, but they often have some habits that have already been formed. They might have vices. They might be nippers or be bitey, or they might be weavers, or they might be pacey and not want to stand still at the mounting block. They have all of those kind of anxious behaviors sometimes in there. not all of them, but they can have those things in there. And once the horses have learned those, it takes more repetitions to get those behaviors out than if you just started it successful from the beginning. And all the time I get sent horses from people who wanted to start them themselves and ended up getting bucked off. And then it's really sad because the owner ends up scared of their horse and they never really have the same relationship again because there's that fear blocking that relationship from being successful and happening. So that can be really intimidating. And then on my end, it's hard. You have to do a lot more repetition, successful experiences to make sure the horse isn't going to turn into that bucking bronco again to get them off. Because once the horse learns they can buck you off, you open up a whole other basket of issues and to come across depending on how that horse goes. So it's so important that we have knowledgeable, experienced coaches or trainers that can help us along the way. So what are the qualities that we need to have if we're going to take on a young horse and kind of bring them along ourselves? The first one I would say is experience. You want to have seen the process, been part of the process, have developed some timing and feel with horses, not just from working with horses, but from being able to teach horses new skills. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have trained a horse under saddle to be started from scratch under saddle before, but teaching horses new skills teaches you how much to ask for, when to reward, when to add pressure, when to release pressure. So if you've only worked with a horse that already knows things and you've only worked on tasks that horse knows, then you haven't learned how to teach a horse new skills, and you're not going to have that same timing and feel that's needed for teaching a horse something they don't already know. So we want to make sure we have that type of experience, teaching new skills to a horse. And then we want to make sure that we have confidence. And this is one that I was chatting with another fellow instructor about. And I was making the case that I think confidence is really a huge part of training, because very easily you can become scared of young horses because they are going to be confused. They are going to give you answers to your questions that you don't necessarily expect or want. They're also young and playful, so they might nip at you or strike out just because they're experimenting with how to respond to a new situation. They're going to startle, spook, go too fast, lose their balance, be wiggly. All of these things are going to happen. They might even trip and stumble just because they're not used to carrying a person on their back. They're not going to have that steady eddy feel to them. And in those moments when they act like a young horse, because they are a young horse, it's going to be up to the rider or the trainer to maintain that level of confidence and guidance. And if you get scared in that moment and freeze up and don't know what to do, then your horse can become scared and nervous. Whereas if you have the confidence to say, oh, we're just going to go this way or we're going to go that way and continue on, no big deal, or at the very least keep your reins relaxed and not snatch up on your horse, then you can prevent the situation from getting worse. But if you get nervous and you start hanging on your horse's mouth and gripping with your legs, that's when issues can happen, when you get nervous and you don't know what to do or how to respond to those situations. So confidence is going to be a really key piece. The third one I'm going to say is support systems. Who's helping you? Do you have somebody that can work with you consistently? And when I train horses, I sometimes have trained them just a couple times a week. So you don't have to train a horse every single day. Depends on their personality and their breed and different things like that, their energy level. If the horse is stalled every day versus if it's out every day with other horses, is going to affect how often that horse needs to be exercised. And the support system is going to be really key, because when issues add up and become big problems, they start with just really little things and they seem like nothing. They don't seem like a big deal. And you don't want to go 3 weeks working on something thinking that it's going great, but really you're just building up to a negative reaction. So it's better to have consistent weekly, if not multiple times a week, support from a coach. or somebody who can be around to watch what you're doing and just be that extra eyes to check in. And then also the support in terms of the facility that you're working at, because it's very hard to start a horse under saddle if you don't have a safely fenced arena that's not too large. It's kind of like a catch-22. You want to have a space that's big enough that the horse can move around in, but not so big that if they get carried away and start running, that you can be running to Timbuktu, because that's not all sorts of fun either. And then having different things that you can use to help build that horse's confidence. So the facility is going to matter, making sure you have safe space, safe footing, because when we're working with horses, you don't want to start off with all of the challenges. It's great that if you want to build up to trail riding or jumping or all of these other things, but we have to start safe and simple, because that's how it's going to be safe, as if it's simple. And we want to make sure we have a space that we can do that in, that there's an uncluttered, safe space that we can work the horses around and know that we're going to have the support to do that. So those are my big three: the knowledge or that experience piece, the confidence, and then the support system, both from the personal aspect but also the environmental aspect as well. Would love to hear what your thoughts are. You can always drop a comment and let us know what you think. Are you ready to have a young horse? And really think about this, because we can learn so much from our horses that are already trained. And really think about what it is your goals are. Think about what it is you're planning to do with your horse. And sometimes it's better to get an older horse that has the experience and can teach you, because ultimately, if let's say your goal is to trail ride and to go to some, you know, low level shows and just have fun with your horse trying different things, then the horse that you can ride comfortably and confidently is going to be the best horse for you. So I hope that makes sense, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Thanks for listening to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. Remember, you can always check out more great free resources and other information at harmonyhorsemanship.com, or check me out on my personal website, lindsaypartridge.com. That's Lindsay with an E, partridge.com, or harmonyhorsemanship.com. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.